New Testament book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and following, it says, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men to ruin and destruction." It doesn't say people who are rich are plunged into ruin and destruction. It says that people who want to, people who have the overriding desire of their life for riches, they end up coming to a place where they're empty, ruined and destroyed. And then it goes on and says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Some people misquote that verse too. Benjamin Franklin said, money is the root of all evil. And many of us think that's what the Bible says. It doesn't. It says here, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love. It's thinking is the ultimate possession. Thinking it's the ultimate thing that will give me the identification that I want. And in here today are a lot of us who want riches and just want money, and you've pierced yourself. You've pierced yourself with things you can't afford and debt you can't manage, and you've pierced yourself with maybe people you married that you really wouldn't have married if they didn't have the money they had, but you pierced yourself with that grief. And maybe you've gone into careers that is not really who you are, but it's what you thought would give you the paycheck that you want, and you've pierced yourself with grief. And maybe you've chosen business partners, or maybe, who knows what it is, but we want to today come against the piercing of ourselves, which comes when we go after what the Joneses have instead of going after what God wants us to have, and that's Himself. So God, I'm praying that that happens today, and that it's happening right now, that we have salve put over our piercings, many of which we brought on ourselves, and going after riches and going after the love of money. From myself, I want to know You more. And I think a lot of us do too. Well, in this whole series of the Joneses, what we've been trying to help us to see is that measuring our worth against what somebody else has or doesn't have, or making our financial aspirations based on what somebody else has or what they tell us that we should have, just leads to emptiness. And it actually does something God doesn't want at all. It separates us from people. It causes us to be competitors with people. It causes us to have lives that are hidden. Instead of getting to know the Joneses and having community with them, we compete with them. And the thing that we're doing in the series that we've done is just try to bring out in the light some of the power behind money. I had an accident at my house happen a week or so ago. A bunch of water got in my house. It shouldn't have got it in my house. And I had to really think through whether or not to just drywall compound over the blistering paint or whether or not to rip out all of the drywall. Because I knew that water in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with water. Water is good. It's great, actually. But when water is by itself in dark places, mold can grow. Mold can grow and become very unhealthy and very, very hazardous. Money can be an awesome thing and is an awesome thing, can meet our needs and is awesome. That's great, great, great. The only problem is when money becomes something that is secretive, that becomes hidden, that becomes in dark places, it can grow like mold and have a negative effect on us. And so we're trying to bring some things out in the light. So let's do a little community exercise right now. If you want to do this, that's great. If you don't, I don't blame you. But here we go. We'll try this out. Pick somebody close to you. I'm going to ask you some questions. You can just answer these questions real quickly. If someone close to you, your spouse, the person you're dating, or somebody you don't know around you, or anybody, and just go ahead and do it. And if you don't want to do this at all, just like look straight ahead and tell me the answer, or say nothing, okay? It's just pick a person, point them out who you're going to do this with. Everyone know, all right? Yes. All right, here, first question. First question is, tell that person how many times a week, on average, you exercise 20 minutes or more. Go ahead and tell that person that. And don't be ashamed. If it's not at all, just say none. It's all good. That's fine. Okay, tell that person your highest level of education, the highest level you completed. tell that person the name of the first person you kissed. Any, doesn't have to be an alfalfa kiss, but any kiss, just tell that person name of the first person you kissed. Listen to everyone, you know, talking. This is great. Tell a person, if you have any children, how many and what their names are. Tell that person what your age is. Tell that person how much money you have in the bank. Tell that person if you have any balance you carry on your credit cards and how much. Tell a person in the last 12 months how much you've given to charity. Can you tell that person whether the Bengals or Browns are going to win today? Okay. Now, I guess that there's three questions in there that you're real uncomfortable answering, and you probably didn't answer. Why is that? Why is it the money question is like, whoa. You know, think about this. I actually, one of the questions I was going to ask, but I decided not to, was describe your first sexual experience. I decided not to do that, but here's what I know. I know that if I had asked you that, most of us would have been more comfortable talking about that than those financial questions. You were okay talking about your age, maybe? Okay talking about kids and age? What is it about money that causes us to think it's a private thing, it's a personal thing, I can't share? The thing about it is that money is, as we talked about last week, the spiritual power that's telling us, keep me to yourself, don't talk with anybody. And there's something unhealthy happens when we don't share our lives with people, and including our financial lives. The book that helped inspire this series is called Green with Envy by Shira Boss, I think is how you pronounce your name. Why keeping up with the Joneses is keeping us in debt. And here's one of the things that she says. Some information and honesty go a long way toward curing the comparisons that ail us. If we would only talk to one another about money and status, about our desires and discontent, if only it were okay to reveal what really goes on in our financial lives, not just factually but emotionally, how much better off would we be? Truth is healing. Like having daylight return after a night spent worrying in the darkness, constructive confessions can banish our loneliness and soothe our financial fretting. How much damage we do ourselves by hiding our money misgivings, and how unnecessary this collective burden is. Our financial and emotional welfare depend not on earning more or owing less, but on owning up and coming to understand the reality of those around us. The Joneses lose their power over us when we get to know them and understand what their own lives are really like behind what is usually a tightly closed door. Well, we're going to talk about a couple of the Joneses in our community. I'm going to welcome up some friends of mine, and they're going to talk about their financial success story. This is a financial success story that I think we're all going to benefit greatly from. So let's welcome up Josh and Jen Sirkamp. Yes. Give them a little warm round of applause. You're so happy about this, aren't you? Yes, you are. Well, a little background on Josh and Jen. Josh and Jen have been married for 10 years?
Yes.
10 years. They have four children, so that means a family of six. They live in Norwood and own two minivans. Bad enough when we own one. Two, you own two minivans. Anything else about your details you want to fill us in on?
No.
I'll keep talking about you for a minute. Josh has been a part of the church for about 10 years. Jen was working elsewhere and was doing some other stuff at another church, but Josh was in the earliest days of Crossroads. He was a paid drummer, and so we were paying him like $25 a service to hit the drums. And his family was in different places, different churches, and then over time, he ended up not being just a paid drummer here, but some more integral part of our community. And then there was a cool thing that happened about 5 years ago that kind of marked your marriage and marked you financially. Take us back to that moment.
Well, I would before we sort of jump into that, I would say that for me, the common theme in my life is that I've always been a very closed off person and someone who would say that I didn't need people. So that'll sort of establish a little bit about myself that
so
I.
So this is very challenging for you today.
Sure. I but I guess it's 5 years. Yeah, 5 years. I had been I was a musician. I've been a musician for a while, and I was also doing some painting and things like that, sort of make ends meet. And Jen was working at another church, and I was basically in our marriage. We were pursuing me becoming a famous rock star. That was sort of our goal. And I would say to most people, don't go for that goal. It's be a banker. It's better. Better. Bankers, better. But essentially, we got to the place where it was there for me to sort of grab the potential of rock superstardom. And
you had a contract offer, too.
Yeah, a contract and had everything. And we had sort of made some plans that one, I would sign the contract, go out on the road for 3 years, and Jen would basically take the kids and go move in with her dad while I was out on the road. So really, it would have been the end of our marriage as we sort of look back at things. And we were in the process here of building the first building, which when this was just HQ, and I was in the empty room that would be the auditorium. I was just sort of looking around, and I literally had to decide the next day, next couple days. And I just really felt like I heard God say, you know, if you walk away from this, I'll bless you. Of course, I thought that meant I would be blessed with lots of money. The blessing turned out to be very different. And so essentially I went back and decided, well, I'm not going to do this. And I was out of a job. And I needed a job. And up to that point, being a musician, I mean, it's hit and miss. Some months are good, some months are bad. So I needed a job, and I was involved here at Crossroads, and they basically said, well, we'll hire you on. We need a janitor. You want to come be a janitor? I thought, rock star janitor. Okay, I'll go for that. I'll go for the janitor thing. So I had...
It was a morph job. It was part janitor, part
yeah,
musician.
I was still doing music stuff here being a janitor as well. At that time, that was the most money I had made in our marriage. It was like $28,000, something like that. That was the most I had made. That was the most I had made in my life, really. So that was a pretty good place for us to be at that time.
Now it's been difficult for you guys to be a part of this church, hasn't it?
Yes.
Tell us why.
Well, for me, I would say this kind of lays a foundation of where I'm coming from. My first real financial memory is when I was in ninth grade and my parents bought me basketball shoes from Payless. And I went to practice, and I remember running around a gym looking at all these Nikes and Reeboks and just being completely ashamed that I didn't measure up. And just thinking, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I will never do this to my kids. This is absolutely horrible. I'm ashamed. And so then, as I've grown and grown up, coming here, it was this, suddenly I was back in that same place again, because, you know, especially in the beginning,
when we were over at Clark.
Yeah, when we were over at Clark, you know, people had cars that cost more than our home. And I would walk in and I would see women who were wearing these just amazing outfits that I knew cost far more than my entire wardrobe. Or I would see their kids that would come in every week with different shoes or just really nice shoes. And I would
private schools.
Yes. Just things that I just kept looking at money. I would see money and feel less than and always wonder.
You wouldn't see their hearts. You'd see their bank
accounts. Yes. I would just see dollar signs walking around. And for me, because my dollar sign was smaller, I just felt completely less than and wondered, how will I ever connect with people here?
What's interesting is Susie Orman, who does like some financial counseling on PBS, she talks about if you can remember your earliest financial memory, there's a story there that still defines how you view money now. And so you're saying the earliest financial memory you had was having basketball shoes that weren't as good as the Joneses.
Right.
And that still carries over today.
Absolutely. It carries over in how I do things for my children.
Go ahead, talk about that.
For instance, just we mentioned private school. Our kids right now are going to a school where our fourth grader has been, you know, offered pot already, and just things that we don't want for our kids, and the opportunity to send them to private school, it's just not there. And I struggle with that, knowing that there's lots of people around me who can do that, or just simple.
And there's resentment there. Like,
yes, I struggle with that.
It's very easy for us to resent people who have, and we don't. And I mean, there would have been a time in my life where I would have said out loud, very passionately, I hate people with money. And that was just, it was just true, because they had what I didn't.
Yeah. Now we're gonna come full circle, so relax here. Everyone, breathe deeply here. So then a sort of perfect storm ended up hitting your life. There were these three forces that came together, three different winds, if you will. There was the wind of, I don't know if it's middle income, lower middle income, you know, whatever, not having a lot of salary. The force and wind of having a family of six. That's a lot of mouths to feed. And then the force and wind of keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That brought some debt. Talk about that wind and how that's played out.
Yeah, I mean, before we got married, both Jen and I had a little credit card debt. But for 10 years of marriage, really up until this year, we have carried a balance on our credit card. If we couldn't get by in a month, we just charge it. Clothes for the kids, you know, things like that, things that we couldn't afford, you know, we would just charge it. So we had amassed an impressive amount of just credit card debt.
Mm-hmm. On what kind of things that would you do it on?
Honey?
Well, I know that just in...
No, I didn't mean it like that. No. Oh, silly people. That's not what I meant.
Some things that, for me, were keeping up with the Joneses was we had gotten involved with a small group who most of them were, well, all of them were much better in a financial better position than we were. And,
yeah.
You know, they would want to go out to eat and hang out. And for us, it was just not a luxury that we were able to do. And
yeah.
So instead of us saying, hey, you know, why don't we, you know, eat at home or we'll cook here, we would just go out and whip our credit card out and charge it, you know.
Well, and even like the first time that we met these folks, and, you know, I would say that I never wanted to be in a small group. You know, I didn't want people in my life. So anyway, the small group was a stretch for me. But when we first met, like going to their house, I mean, in my mind, I mean, just their kitchen alone, you could have fit our house in their kitchen. So I was just like, I got nothing in common with these people. We were invited to be there, and it was just, I just felt, once again, you know, these people have and we don't. So going out to dinner, you know, charging dinner, for me it was like just something as simple as going out to lunch. And, you know, you can go out to lunch and you buy, well, I couldn't, so I would charge it. And I certainly didn't want to tell anyone, I can't pay for lunch.
This is what's really difficult is, regardless of how much we have or how little we have, to just talk about it is very difficult. I had a situation in the same category, but different at the same time, without going out. I had some friends say, hey, we want to go out to dinner with you. Let's go out to dinner. And they mentioned this restaurant, this really great hoity-toity restaurant in town. And I guess I was staring at my friend like a deer in headlights, and he's looking at me going, well, don't you like that place? Don't you like that? And I had this moment to think through, am I going to be honest or not? And if we wanted to, we could go to the restaurant. We could. We have the money. We could do that. I just know that it would be stressful for us to do that for something that's going to be in the toilet 12 hours later, because we just don't have that much money. We could do it if we wanted to. So I'm just kind of looking. I'm going, and he said, "What, don't you like that restaurant?" I said, "No, I love that restaurant. I just that's just not something that's you know." Well, are you paying? Are we paying? He said, well, no, we're paying. I said, oh, great. I love that restaurant then. That's fantastic. Let's go ahead and go to that restaurant. And it was great. And, you know, and God's blessed them in such a way that if that restaurant had breakfast and lunch, they could have three meals a day all the time there. And so for them, it was easy to do that. But
yeah,
just the vulnerability of having that discussion is spiritually healthy for everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I mean, I would say there would be simpler things like Halloween costumes that we couldn't afford, you know, charge it. Or Christmas presents that we couldn't afford, charge it, you know, because we wanted our kids to have stuff.
So what was your crisis point where all this came together with this perfect storm?
Well, the crisis point was we had amassed this debt, and then we were a two income family at the time, and then Jen sort of felt like she needed to be at home with the kids, and so we have this debt, and we have less income, and at the same time, honey.
At the same time, I was just in a place where I recognized, because I had always taken care of the finances
and
done all the budgeting and all that kind of stuff. And
I wanted nothing to do with the money part of things. I just knew that Jen would take care of that, and when I needed some money, I'll ask for it, and she'll give it to me. So she basically bore the responsibility of money in our home.
Well, and I just got to the place where it was like, I can't do it. And so I remember just coming to Josh and saying, here, I can't do this anymore.
And at the same time that she was sort of working through that thing, Nia sort of needing to be in control and really trust. Like, I would say that Jen had a hard time just trusting me because I had no interest in the family, really. I was more interested in sort of doing my own thing. But at the same time, at the same time that she was growing, and I was learning that I wanted to be a husband and I wanted to be a father, and I was excited about those things. So she comes to me and she says, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, great, because I want to be a husband now.
Now let me pause you for a minute before we go further. See, this is one of the things that money does. I see so many times in families and marriages, one spouse has no idea what the other person is doing. And money ends up dividing. And even families have separate checking accounts, so they never have to talk to each other about money. And this is the weird thing about money. It does this. And so for you, it was dividing you.
Yeah. I mean, I just... And I remember when she finally said to me, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. And I said, great. She showed me the budget/debt. And I just thought, really my heart broke for her, because I thought she's been taking this responsibility and just bearing it on her own. And so I was ashamed and a number of other things. But so we sort of decided, okay, we're gonna take care of this. We're gonna go on a budget and we're gonna, you know, get rid of this debt.
Let me cover you one more time here, okay?
Yeah.
Some of you in here right now, you're sitting there going, man, these two people, are they stupid or something? This is just crazy. How could you get this place? If you're feeling that way, you need to realize that you are a very unique person, because the people around you have financial crises stories. And some of the financial crisis stories, I got an email from somebody, isn't about being in credit card debt, but it is that they feel so lonely because... they have enough money and they have a lot of money. They started their own business, and yet they feel like they can't tell anybody around them because they would be negatively judged and they would think that no one can understand who they are. I mean, people all have financial stories in this place, and it causes us to be inward focused, and very few of us have a healthy perspective on it and are in good shape financially. So you're not weird. Keep going.
So we decided to do this budget, and at the same time, we've been in this small group for about 3 years, and we've just been growing really close with these people, and even I could honestly say that I love these folks, and that was a stretch for me. So Jen and I, we did this budget, and we realized that we needed accountability. We realized we needed, you know, someone to go alongside us. And I had heard someone else in their small groups say that they had, like, for a month, they had sort of showed their budget to one another for a month, and I thought, well, we should do that. We should do that thing, and so we sort of called a meeting of all these folks, and we packed all our debt up into a box, and we got in our car and started driving over there, and we had this horrific fight over something that neither of us can remember what it was, but I know that the fight was so bad that when I got there, I just thought, I want to turn around and go home. So in retrospect, sort of looking back, I think that was a spiritual force basically saying, don't do this. You know, something that sort of...
You
came
felt
around.
There was a literal spiritual force.
Absolutely.
That was keeping you from going to a place and sharing this.
Because on the other end, there was all this freedom. You know, on the other end, there was this immense amount of freedom. But when we got there, it sucked. So
walk in, what happens?
We walk in there, we got our box, and Jen's still sort of weepy. Because she'd been crying in the car, and I was all like, And one of the guys was like, you guys don't look, you know, very happy to be here. And Jen said, can you pray for us? And he did. And so everyone else showed up, and we put our box in the middle of the table, and we just sat down. And I just felt this intense shame. I just thought, I am such a bad husband. I am such a bad father. I can't provide for my family. And I just put my head down, and Jen was crying. And I just thought, oh, man. So they start passing around our debt and the money that we make, and they had everything. They had our financial life in front of them. And I just thought, this is it for me. My secret's out. And the first thing that they did was they just said basically how wonderful we were. That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting judgment, really, even from these people who I could say that I loved. But they just affirmed for us that what we were doing was really good and that they were going to come alongside of us and help us. And that was the moment that it broke the financial bonds that we were in, that moment.
And they actually, you guys bonded together and they did things to actually help you.
Absolutely. I think the first thing they did was in that moment, I remember sitting there crying and just saying, I have become my greatest fear. I am that friend now who is needy. I am that person who is going to be the downer for everybody, and they're always going to be thinking that they have to help me. And I just remember them stopping me and just starting to point out things to me that I had done for them in ways that I had blessed them in the midst of that. And it was just this eye-opening experience of me recognizing how I had put money on this pedestal and pretty much idolized it and placed every other gift or thing below it. And so it was just this amazing moment where they just reminded me of my value. But then also what they did is we had decided the first thing we wanted to pay off was Crazy Campaign. And we went through our house and kind
Crazy Campaign is the thing that we did as a church above me on regular giving to do South Africa, local city, building, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
We just felt like that was really important to do first so it didn't get lost in a shuffle of everything else. And we had decided to have a yard sale. So I went through our house, got everything that, you know, was not essential. And then my friends decided they were going to do a yard sale with us. And I was just thinking, you know, they're going to keep the money from what they sold for themselves. And at the end, I remember them each just handing me all the money that they had made from the things that they had sold. And I was able that day to walk in on a Saturday and just make my last Crazy Campaign commitment and that payment. And it was paid off. And it was just this amazing, overwhelming feeling to have them just joining that with me and to know that they had gone around their house and pulled out things, like some of them were wedding gifts that they had just brought out to this yard sale and decided to sell so that they could help us. And it was just an amazing feeling.
That's right.
They also paid debt for you too.
Yes.
We started tackling the debt, the first thing we did is we liquidated what little retirement that we had and threw it right into credit card debt. And they had saw the effort that we made and they said, look, we're going to pay off the remainder of this specific credit card. We're going to pay that off, which was $2,400. And they took care of one of the credit cards just there.
And in the midst of that, I think, as I remember him handing me the check and me just at that moment feeling just sick with just shame. And he stopped me because he just recognized that I was just feeling just icky about taking money from him. And he just reminded me that it was about him growing as well as me and just kind of pulled me out of this pity party that I was having. And
they weren't rescuing
Yeah,
us.
That it was just, this is how we love each other. Work. And it was just amazing.
Your story is so in line with this verse in the Bible. The very early followers of Jesus, people were so attracted to their relationships and what was happening that it just started taking off and growing. And this verse talks about that. It's in the book of Acts. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They had it all in common because they realized whether we have a lot of money or little money, it's all God's money. He just allows us to manage it. And they sold their possessions and goods and they gave anyone as he had need. That's what you lived this verse, you and your friends. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Temple courts, that was kind of like they went to church. So this is sort of structure church. They met in places like this. And they ate together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So they had like small groups, places outside of officially religious sanctioned events where they were doing life. That's what you guys had. And they praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. People just saw this kind of intensive relational stuff and just said, I want a part of that. I want a part of that.
That's right.
And that's what you've all experienced is beauty.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What else happened to help you get
I think
to a new place?
That was sort of the small community. And then inside that community, they were all like, now you got to go ask for a raise. And I'll just honestly say that made me really uncomfortable because for me being a part of this place and working here is not about taking a paycheck. I believe in what we do and it's not about money. So for me asking for money was very difficult. But I remember finally going in and sitting down, and basically saying, look, I need some money and being told, okay, wait, we'll have a meeting about it. And I remember being called in that day to a meeting and just being told, look, you're not getting a raise. And I thought, oh, okay, well. But what we are going to do is pay off the remainder of your credit card debt. And I just thought, well, that's not what I expected. And in addition to that, I had needed a car because my car was shot. And one of the guys in the room had just sold a car, and he had just happened to have a car lying around. And he gave it to me. So I basically got a car, a new car.
No car payments,
no debt. All we have is our house and our two mortgages. And so we're completely out of debt that we thought we could never get out from under.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. You know, what strikes me is finances can bring so many fears, and I'll tell you what some fears that I had as the head of the organization and some fears that somebody else had. I talked at the atrium. Mm-hmm. As fears I had was, man, if someone hears what we do with you as a staff member, what if other staff members try to take advantage of that system, abuse it, or come to it? And, you know, we'll deal with that when a staff person, and there's times where we would say no, not do that, because there's varieties of different reasons that come in. But having the fear of somebody else having the expectation of fair share on them is not going to keep me from talking about the story. Mm-hmm. And somebody else out in the atrium said, boy, there could be some fears that, like, what if everyone just starts abusing small groups to get them out of debt? And I'm like,
that's stupid.
Yeah, that is, but that's a ridiculous fear to have. And I just think this is why, folks, this is why they're a financial success story. Is they're in a good place right now because they were open and vulnerable with people, and you've seen God show up in your life.
That's right.
So how about speak to this also, if you could. You talked a couple times of feeling like you were less than other people because they have more money than you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yet you realize that people who had more money of you didn't define you by money. And you put baggage on people who had a lot of money that they shouldn't have had put on them. Talk about that.
Well, I know that what I'm recognizing is how just Satan used that to keep me from relationships. And I'm recognizing now that, you know, I've only had these friends for 3 years, but I've missed out on 10 years of being here, of just having tons of relationships with amazing people where they could have been blessing me and I them and us growing each other. But because of me allowing money to keep me from people and my view of what money was and just how it made me feel, I missed out on that. And mm-hmm. And I recognize God's desire for us to be in relationship with people. And some of the people who have blessed us the most are people that, you know, a few years ago we would have looked at and just had complete judgment on.
And when you say blessed, you're not talking about they've written checks to you.
No, like.
But
no.
You're just talking the blessing of the relationship.
Yes. That's right.
We have couple, Betty and Jerry Rushing, who pretty much we've asked if they would mentor us. And we've been meeting with them for probably 7 or 8 months. And it's not about money. It's about they speak truth into our lives. And I remember the first time we went to their house, we had to drive from Norwood to Terrace Park. And yes, there were moments where we were looking around going,
big old houses.
Oh, that's nice. And there was the envy, but we were able to wrestle through that. But just being with them and recognizing the value of who they are.
And them even saying to us what a blessing we are to them. To me, it just baffled me because I thought, what could we offer these people? But, you know, it just goes to show what money does.
This is a challenge that I have right now as a communicator. When we talk about money, it's hard for me to talk about money now, harder than it was 5 years ago. We used to be a very monochromatic church 5 years ago. And I don't mean just in terms of skin color. I mean financially. Mm-hmm. When we rented space in Erie Avenue in Hyde Park, we were a monochromatic economic church. Everybody who was coming was either a six-figure earner or someday had a real desire you probably could be. And therefore, financial illustrations, I mean, right down the pike, you know, I could use illustrations I knew everyone would wrestle with. We moved over here, and we got very diverse economically. And it's been difficult for me as a communicator because there's things I say that other people, like, they can't relate with at all. And I had somebody come up to me after last night and said, man, even that question about how much you have in your checking account, people who where I am, we don't have checking accounts. We don't have check, and I was like, duh, I forget that. Even that's a given. We have people in our church who don't have checking accounts. We have people in our church that sit on eight figures, and they're fine where they are, and they have no stresses. And the thing is, I've moved from this being a stressful thing of how do I connect with such a broad variety of people to realize this is an awesome thing. This is how the body of Christ is set up to work. Where else in society are you ever going to be with somebody who's of a different economic status than you are? We're in neighborhoods where everyone roughly has the same amount of stuff. We're on floors in our jobs where people have the same income level. We're part of a country club, or we go to a community center. We're around people who, in every other area of life, that are about where we are. But when we come to a place like this, because we're not defined by our stuff and by our income, we're around people who are all over the place, and it forces us to kind of round out and become more toward. It's actually a pretty cool thing. No. So, final two things, or anything, any final counsel you would have for us?
The last thing I would say is that we are, as I am learning, it's been one of the biggest struggles of my life, is we are not meant to be people alone. We are not meant to be islands. We are not meant to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. That is a lie. We are created to depend on one another. We are created to receive from each other's gifts and receive from each other's blessings. So the idea that we can't depend on one another, or we should not seek help, is just a lie. I mean, we are here to be a blessing to one another. And I would say that is the biggest learning of my life.
I think mine would just be echoing that I've just learned how much that I kept myself hidden because of this lie that I believed about money, and how God just helped me to break that bondage so that I could be who I am, but also that I could see other people for who they are and receive just the blessings of relationship, just having friends and people who love you.
Hey, you know, we you applaud them on that. I was trying to close this off. I just realized we got to tell one more story, one really cool story. Tell the cruise story, and then we're done. Because okay. This is pretty cool. Because this is one of the ways that God has rewarded you for being generous. That's the way you interpret it anyway. Tell that story. It's pretty cool.
When Jennifer and I got married, we had our honeymoon consisted of a hotel room and some champagne from my dad, and which was awesome to us. And we always talked about how great it would be to have a honeymoon someday. That day will never come, but it's good to dream about. And last couple years?
We went on a cruise this year.
Damn. So. I'm so bad with dates. This year.
It was last summer that we
7 years ago. The staff goes away every year for a staff retreat where we all get together and sort of talk about the year. And this year, it was a little different. They made a sort of circle up, and what had happened is Crossroads as a staff had accumulated about 500,000 points on a credit card for the past 10 years that nobody knew about.
All that coffee we buy goes in, you know, we got all that nice points on credit cards.
So there was all these points, and so the leadership of the church decided, well, we want to bless a few people, and they basically said to us that they're going to give us a cruise, an 8-day, 7-night cruise, and that was our honeymoon. And at that staff get together, it was Jen's actual first day at Crossroads working. She started working here, and what had happened is they made me just stand up in the circle, and just people basically said to me how wonderful I was, and my wife got to see that, and I mean, the cruise was cool. I recommend it. Highly. But the thing was, it was like people in this community took our kids for 8 days. I mean, they watched our kids, and they gave us money to have fun on our cruise. And it was just because they loved us, not because I did anything for them. And that was just really awesome. And I think it was just because Jen and I have decided to rely on community.
And you saw that as God rewarding some of your faithfulness, too.
Sure enough.
Hey, let's thank these guys for sharing their life here.
That was awesome. That was awesome. That was awesome, dude. Great.
You know, as the band comes up, a couple thing. One application I have for you. There's this power when stuff comes out in the light. And here's my challenge for you. I would ask you to find two people that you would not have any financial secrets with, and you would just share where you are financially. Just share it. Share it all. And you'll find that they'll be cheerleading you. You'll find that you'll feel free because there's not a secret. Just talk it through. Find a couple people and just say, here's my life. I just don't want to have any secrets. And if you don't have anybody you can do that with, don't find some unhealthy, judgmental person to do that with. That's not the thing you do. But if you don't have anybody you could do that with, just say, well, maybe this is a different level in community I have to think about. I have to develop some trusting relationships. I know I have a group that I meet with, and I'm going to talk with them about, man, maybe that will take our vulnerability next level if we do that. And just consider to do that, because when we don't bring things out in the light, they have a power over us. And that's not the way God wants us to operate. Okay. Yeah, let's stand up. Why don't we stand? And no secrets. So let's pray through song to God about going to Him in the secret place.